very short roll, so maybe it's more kedai. So we mentioned from the Rambam that the Rambam says, no, you're supposed to take out a second Sefer Torah as covet. But Rav Asher Weiss discusses a very creative shayla that came up this year because it was Shkolim, Rosh Chodesh, and Shabbos, so he took a three Sefer Torah. The question is, what happens if you only had one Sefer Torah? So we all know, those of us that were in shul yesterday, we know that what was the order? We read six aliyahs from the parasha, then we jumped to Chodesh, and then we went to Shkolim because of Tad V'Shein Tad Tad Kaidin. But the shayla that the Achrayim deal with is, what happens if you only have one Sefer Torah? So if you have one Sefer Torah, you're going to roll from Mishpatim all the way to Pinchas, and then roll back to Kisisa. That's a huge Tircha de Tzibura. So the shayla was, in that case, maybe it was more Kedai to skip the Tadir, go straight from Parshas Mishpatim to Shkolim, and then do Chodesh at the end. So Rav Asher Weiss has a whole hour-long shiur, fascinating topic, about that topic. But just one interesting idea, the Shari Ephraim, the great Rabbi Ephraim Zarmagolis, writes that it's poshut to him, you don't roll to Shkolim, you don't go to Pinchas and come back to Shkolim, because he says Tircha de Tzibura trumps everything. You know, bothering people and delaying people's time, that beats out everything. And I don't think that's what we paskin. I didn't listen to Rav Asher Weiss's whole share, I only listened to the beginning. But there's just an interesting Lomda Shashayla that comes off of last week's parish, last week's setup, because of the three parishias. We mentioned in the past, and again, I'm not going to tell everyone to listen to it, but this Shabbos is obviously Parsha Zohar with a lot of complications because of still, you know, we're still trying to keep social distancing and limit the amount of people. So the question this year comes up even more so, is it that important for women to come hear Parsha Zohar? I'm not going to say that now. You can listen to a share we discussed last year. Are women really obligated to hear Parsha Zohar? I think this year perhaps is even more relevant than the other years. And we'll just close with one last word on the Parsha, and then Blin Edel, let's start the Sugya. We had in this week's Parsha the Sugya of Baba Machteres. We actually learned the sugya a little bit here in the morning, but I heard a beautiful idea from Rabbi Soloveitchik. We explained that if you think about the whole Baba Machteres, the whole storyline is very flawed. The guy comes into your house, he wants to steal your money. So you decide to fight him, and you stand up against him, and when you stand up against him, well, he stands up against you, and you're allowed to kill him. So ask Rabbi Soloveitchik, I have a great idea. Just give him your money and hide under your bed and save everyone the time and trouble. The whole sugya is based on the fact that you want to defend your money. Why? Don't be such a brave, tough guy. Give the guy your money, right? What do the police tell people if a person is never ever caught in a, and don't fight back? Give him what he wants. You can replace money. You can't replace people, right? This is the classic response. So what's the whole Baba Machteres? So Rabbi Soloveitchik explained that the lesson of Baba Machteres is that we're not mechuyev to sit back and allow people to ruin our lives. We're not mechuyev just to sit back and be pushed around and pushed over and be, oh yeah, you're the nice guy, so we'll rip you off and we'll do this and that to you. No. I have the right to stand up for my property. I worked hard for my money. I worked hard for my estate. And I'm going to defend it. Now, it doesn't mean you should go crazy. But it means that you have the right as a human being, as an owner, to defend what is honestly yours. To the point where the Torah respects that defense and even allows you to act upon it. And the reason why this struck a chord with me was because this week, at the beginning of the week, there was a very big... My shul, along with some other shuls, I got this from Kiran Hills as well, some other shuls, we filed a lawsuit against the governor. And we won. Which basically gives the governor, takes away his power, or the city, the government's power, from being able to lock down shuls or close down shuls, which in a way that wasn't fair. And I think this is a very important message for Klai Yisrael. We don't have to be pushed around by government officials just because, you know, we're Yidden and we're nice people and we don't riot and we don't burn things down. So just push us around. No. We have the right to stand up for what is legally incorrect. And if we feel that we're being treated incorrectly legally, we have all the right in the world to go and the judicial way. We shouldn't go around burning things. We shouldn't go around lighting things on fire. None of that is acceptable. And it's not acceptable in Eretz Yisrael either. And it pains me and hurts me to see it happen in Eretz Yisrael, where people take matters into their own hands and they make these protests and they light and they burn and they destroy. There's no place for that in Yiddishkeit. But when we are being mistreated from a governmental standpoint, we have all the right in the world to take it to the courts. And let the courts decide. And Baruch Hashem, the courts decided in our favor. So I think the message is very important that we're not going to be pushed around just because we're nice, good people. We're not going to allow the government just to lock down our schools and close down our institutions. And we're just going to take it quietly because we're not like other movements that are going to get violent. So therefore, the government could do what they want. No, we took it to the government. We took it to the legal way. I think we did it very batant. I didn't follow all the cases. I was actually called by one of the Fox News. They wanted to interview me because my shul was on the lawsuit. And I told them, if they called me with one of the big, if Sean Hannity called me, wanted to interview maybe Tucker Carlson, one of the big guys. Some low-level lady called me, so I didn't give her the interview. But in any case, I think we as Yidden have the right And we should. We should not take things sitting down just because, you know, we're good people, we're nice people. We have the right to defend ourselves. I think Baba Machteris teaches us that we have the right to defend ourselves against those that are trying to push us around. But again, respectfully, batamt, you know, when we lost the first time on Shmini Atzeres, we took it and we moved on. We filed another one, and Baruch Hashem, it was successful. So I think it's an important message for all of us to realize that the government can't just push us around because we are Yidden. Yes, I know we're in Golos. I know everything. I understand it all. But nonetheless, it doesn't mean they can outwardly do things to us that are incorrectly. We take it to the government, and Baruch Hashem, they keep their hands off our shul, and halavai, it should continue. They should keep their hands off our shul. We should treat our shuls properly. We should make sure that we're showing proper Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, which is why we always know this whole thing happened in the first place. It wasn't because of Corona. It wasn't because of what happened in China. It was because we were not behaving properly. Hopefully we heard the message and we moved on. Okay, everybody, say, just for scheduling purposes, in the midst of next Sunday, we'll be doing a Purim topic. Believe it or not, Purim is around the corner. It has been the practice here for quite so many years that we've been together. We try to do a Nyanei de Yom Tov before Yom Tov. So Mitzvah next Sunday's share will be a Purim-based share. I haven't decided what it will be on, but it will be something about the Yom Tov of Purim. I'm actually leaning towards discussing a topic which is less discussed, both from a halachic and a lomish standpoint, but what about all the many cities in Eretz Yisrael that are sveikis about when their wall appeared? And we all know that in order to read the Megillah on Tezvav, you have to be a walled city from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, Mechlekes Negemara. But there are quite a few cities and a lot of literature about cities that people don't exactly know when they started to get their wall. Maybe we'll talk about that. Maybe we'll talk about something else. Who knows? It's still too early in the week. Also, this Tuesday night, we're going to be finishing up part two of Mechitza and Halacha. We discussed last week at length, for those of you who missed it, you can listen online, we discussed at length the role and the importance of the Mechitza throughout history, the opinions of different Gedolei Achronim about where the Mechitza comes from, but we kind of left off the best part of the shiur, which we'll leave for this week, is, okay, how high does Mechitza have to be, and what about Mechitzas with balconies, what about see-through Mechitzas, what about Mechitzas with glass, all the very, very touchy topics that we didn't cover, and if there's time, Belineda, we'll try to discuss what events need a Mechitza and what events don't need a Mechitza. Do you need a Mechitza every single time men and women come together? What about a levaya? What about a graduation? What about speeches? When exactly is a Mechitza needed? When a Mechitza is not needed? Belineda, we'll try to get to that as well, and then we'll have the Parsha Shir in Mirat Hashem Wednesday night as well. This coming week we'll discuss Parshas Truma, and usually when we get to these parshas, people start to lose interest in Chumash because Truma Tetzav Kisiz V'Yakim Kudah doesn't sound as exciting as Shmoyz V'Eiraboy, but we will try our best to keep it exciting and learn the parshas through the Binyan HaMishkan and through all the Klei HaMishkan. Mirat Hashem will start that this Wednesday night. Okay, we left off last week.
Rabbi, yes.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. As well as David. David, you with us?
His thing froze.
He
just came out. He just WhatsApped me, but I'm driving.
Esther Sarabas Chaya Pesach.
Okay, Esther Sarabas Chaya Pesach. Mirat Hashem, I am.
Chaim Yitzchak Moshe. Ben Esther Reisel.
Rina Basio.
Bas Shifarus. And if people could do me a favor, two things. Number one, the rabbi can't mute his new computer. I think you're better off with the old one. If everyone could please mute. And I'm driving right now, so can somebody please tell David Pollack to try to please get back on? Because he said his thing, the computer froze by him.
Tom, where's
Bobby's phone? I think we're good.
Okay, I have my tech. Okay, my tech advisor is here, so hopefully we'll get the Mamre Kremes posted in 8 seconds. But we'll review what we discussed last week.
I have to share it.
Okay, my tech is here. All you got to do is wake her up, and she's ready to go. Okay, we left off last week, Rabbi Say. We were discussing a Gemara, where the Gemara had a drasha that it says in the pasuk. Actually, this week's parasha had a little bit referencing of our sugya about Einus Mafate. But we had a Gemara, source number one, for those of you that have the source sheets in front of you, it should be posted, it will be posted in a minute. The Gemara says, I'm quoting a Gemara on Daf Lamed Chesem Beis. We saw this Gemara together on Lamed Chaf Tesem Beis, but the Gemara was here, the Gemara over there was discussing a drasha. The Gemara made a drasha, the following drasha, it says in the Torah of Enosin Lavia Naira, you give the money to the, scroll down, you give the money to the father of the girl. So the Gemara makes a drasha. What would happen? Thank you. Beautiful. The Gemara, can we get it all the way over?
Here.
Beautiful. Okay, so the Gemara makes a drasha. What happens if the girl were to die between the time of the Maisa Oinus and the Amod Bedin? So the Gemara told us, there's a drasha, we darshan avia naira, Veloy lavia mesa, that the father only gets the money if the girl is alive, but not if the girl dies. And that was the drasha we discussed last week. Now, there's a Gemara in Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara says that this concept is actually machloikis amoroyim between Abayi and Rava. The Gemara in Daf Lamed Ches reads the following: Zark, the Gemara Amar Abaya, Bo Leu Mesa. If you boil the girl and then she died, meaning before Amod Bedin, Zark, the Gemara Potter. She's the boil. The troublemaker, he's potter. Why should him? It says in the Torah, "V'nosan la'avi ha'naira." You give the mother, you give the money to the father of the naira, v'loy la'avi mesa, but not to the father of a deceased. Part of the chi of knas goes to the father, but only goes to the father if the girl's alive. La'avi v'loy la'avi mesa. That was the drasha we had in the Gemara last week. Now, what I wanted this week to prove to you is that it's not so pashut. A rav argues on Abaya. The Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Milsa de Pshita le Abaya, that was so simple to Abaya, me bar le the Rava, Rava wasn't so sure about. Meaning Rava wasn't so sure that Abaya's din is correct, that if the girl dies between the Shas Maisa and Amod Bedin, that the guy is potter. Why? The boy Rava, Rava Claire the Shiloh. This is a huge sugya. I don't know if we'll ever get to it, but the Gemara is a sugya, yesh baga bekever, or ain't baga bekever. The Gemara wants to know, is it possible for a girl to turn up by Geris when she's dead? Bagger means she becomes a begeret. Bekever means when she's already in the kever, she's in the grave. I mean, the Gemara is claiming a shayla basically about a girl who died before Amod Bedin, and then she becomes a begeret. So we know that once she becomes a begeret, all the chiyuvim are no longer negeya, right? Because that's already a ptur. So the Gemara is claiming a shayla: can she become a begeret in the kever? Can she become a begeret when she's dead? So the Gemara says, you see from Rava, the fact that Rava clears such a shayla, you see that Rava assumed not like Abaya. Because what's the shayla if she becomes a begeris? But she's dead! According to Abaya, the moment the girl dies, we dash in avio v'loy avi mesa, there's no chiyuv. From the fact that Rava even clears a shayla that she could become a begeris bekever, so you see that Rava wasn't so convinced to Abaya's din. So it's machloikis amaroyim between Abaya and Rava. Abaya says, there's a drush of enosin la'avio v'loy la'avi mesa, meaning if the girl dies before there could be amod b'din, the boil is putter from everything. Well, according to Rava, Rava wasn't so sure. So our Gemara didn't tell us this. Our Gemara and Nafchav Tes and Ksubis made it sound like everyone agrees to this din. But the Achrayim point out, we'll see this is Reb Kivega's Kasha. Why does the Gemara by us not give us the full story? The Gemara and Nafchav Tes told us that we need one of the words Hanaira to teach me Avi Hanaira Veloy Lavi Mesa, that the father doesn't get the money if the girl's dead. But Lamaisa, it's not so poshut. Rava disagrees with Abaya. So Rabbi Kivega is going to ask in a second, so why did the Gemara have to use the word Hanaira to teach me a drasha, which is disputed? The Gemara could have taught me a much better drasha. And that's Rabbi Kivega's kasha number two. For Rabbi Kivega, Temuali. Amai parich mi memra da Abaya. Why did the Gemara say that the reason I need one of the Hanairas is to teach me the din of Abaya? For Rabbi Kivega, Dirava chaydik l'kamon bezeh. But Abaya's din is not agreed by all. The Gemara de Kasha, if you remember last week, the Gemara de Kasha, that we have three times it says Hanairus. So the Gemara says, well, I use them, one to teach me that Chavi Lavin, and one to teach me Chavi Krisis, and one to teach me Legufe. In fact, the Gemara, they're not extra, I need them for other things. So the Gemara says, what do you mean they're not extra? I need them for what? I need them for this din. Avi Ava Le'avi Mesa. So Frekti Mikveger, but that's a Machloikas Amarayim. Why didn't the Gemara just answer that our Gemara is going according to Rava? Rava says there's no such drasha. But Frekti Mikveger is a bigger Kasha than just that. Frekib Kiveger, not only could have the Gemara answered that we're going like Rava, but there's another din the Gemara could have learned out. Frekib Kiveger, the Yeshmakam Loimad Reshlokish Loisol Abaya. Amai La Parich Yoiser. Frekib Kiveger, the Gemara had a better kasha. Not that I need one of the Hanairas to teach me the din of Avia Veloy Avi Mesa, which is a Machloikas Abayin Rava. The Gemara could have answered, I need to teach me something which all agree on. What's that? The din of the Mishnah later on, which is what? Loy Hispik Lamoid Bidinache Bagra Rein Shalatzmoy. We spoke about this many times. What happens if the girl becomes a Begeres between the Shas B and the Shas Amod Bidin? Then the Mishnah says, everyone agrees. The Knas goes to her. How do you know that? Because it says v'nosan la'avia naira v'loy la'avia b'geres. So Frekti b'kiveger, I don't understand. Why did the Gemara b'asan da'chof tesam ed-bei say that I need one of the words hanaira to teach me the din of Abaya? If the din of Abaya is disputed, it's a machloikis. I can always answer that our Gemara holds like Rava. But Frekti b'kiveger, more than that, why didn't the Gemara bring down a drasha which is muskim ba'koil? Everyone agrees that if the girl becomes a begeris between the maisa and the shas and the din, that the money goes to the father. And where's that learned from? It's learned from the din of v'nosan la'vi hanaira v'loy la'vi begeris. She's not a begeris. She's not a naira anymore. So why did the Gemara get itself into a machloikas Abaye and Rav and not just go the simple route of telling me something which is agreed by all? That's
yeah. Go ahead. I don't know if, I had trouble dialing in, but did ask the Star of Us Chaya Pesach.
Yeah, yes, we got David. We got it taken care of. Yes.
Okay.
Baruch Hashem. Yeah. Everyone filled in. We Baruch Hashem, we're able to get the names in. But thank you, David. I appreciate it. So that's Rabbi Kiveges Kash. So Rabbi Kiveges Kash is twofold. First of all, the din of Abaya is a machloikis. But why didn't you jump, instead of getting yourself involved in a machloikis, which the Gemara could have answered easily, that we hold like a Rava, why didn't we just talk about something that everyone agrees to, which is, not that the girl died before Amad Bedin, but the girl became a Begeris before Amad Bedin. And since the girl became a Begeris before Amad Bedin, so everyone agrees, it says in the Torah, Taisus, Rashi and Taisus both say on the page, it says in the Pasuk, V'nosan lavi anayra v'loi lavi Begeris. And since now this girl's a Begeris, you're potter. As I refer to Kiveg. So if we look at number three, the Rashash. The Rashash has a different kasha. Similar to Reb Kiveg, but different. The Rashash's kasha is the following. We just said before that we have a din in our Gemara of a Nosan Lavi Anaira Veloy Lavi Mesa, which means, again, if the guy's Ma'anis, an 8-year-old girl, and before they take him to Bezdin, the girl dies Nebuch, so the halacha is potter, the guy doesn't have to pay anything. Guy's scot free. Legal loophole. Frecht, the Rashash, I don't get it. What happens when the guy's Ma'anis a girl, when she's 8 years old, and they don't get to court until she turns 12 and a half? So now she's a Begeris. Right, so what happens? So the halacha is that all the money goes to her. Now, Frekta Rashash, if both these drushas are learned from the same pasuk of Vinosan Lavi Anaira Veloy Lavi Begeres, Vinosan Lavi Anaira Veloy Lavi Mesa, it's both learned from the same pasuk. So why in one case is the guy completely potter, and why in one case does the money all go to her? Meaning, if it's a ptur in the payment to the father, then it should be both ways. It should be the father's potter and she's potter. Why by Begeres does she get the money? But by Mesa, no one gets the money. Why by one is the guy scot-free and one the money just goes to someone else? That's the Rashash's cash. We mentioned this Rashash lot.
It's not that he's scot-free. Is that the Leva tells us? It's not this guy that the Leva tells you that it doesn't go to the father. So it doesn't go to the father, it goes to somebody.
Oh, so by so always, so good.
If the daughter's dead, then there's no one to give it to.
Oh, that's the Rashash's teretz. The Rashash answers in number three that Avada the drush is the same drush. But Nasan Lavi Anair tells me that the father loses all rights to payment and everything goes to the girl. So buy a boy Geres when the girl is around in the world, so she gets everything. Givaldi, everything goes to her. Mashenki, when the girl dies, so you're right, in Lumda says the Rashash, it should go to her. But ain't other Meirish Knas Lubanov? You can't be Meirish Knas. Knossos are not subjected to Yerusha, and therefore if she's not here, the money just falls to the wayside. But the Rashash says in Lomdis ain't Echanami. Says the Rashash in Lomdis, Avada, it's the same Drasha. The Drasha is the same thing. That what? The Nasan Lavi Anaira Veloy Lavi Mesa, the Nasan Lavi Anaira Veloy Lavi Begeris means that when either scenarios happen where the girl is now no longer a typical Naira at the time of Amad Bedin, dad loses all rights to payment. Where does it go? It transfers over to the girl. So when the girl's a Begeris, yes. So there's a long Taisris in Daf Lamed Zayin that discusses when do we say Meirish Adam L'Knas L'Banav, when don't we say Adam Meirish Knas L'Banav. So I don't want to get involved in it now, mainly because I'm not that familiar with the sugya, but it is a big sugya. So we'll have to hold off to one day maybe discuss it. It's not so simple because some Knosses are Nitna B'Yerusha. So we'll have to hold off with that when we say it. It's a very, very long Taisris, Daf Lamed Zayin, Subas about it. Maybe one day we'll tackle. But it's a good question. When yes and when no. But that's Rashash's teretz. But the reason why I'm emphasizing this Rashash is because Rashash is coming out with a lumnus. The lumnus is that it's the exact same Torah. The Torah of Aviyah V'loi Begeres, Aviyah V'loi Mesa is the exact same drasha, which means both cases the Torah took away the payment to the father, it redirected the funds, it took it away from the father and gave it to the girl. Just in one case the girl's around, the other case the girl's not around. That's Rashash's teretz. Now, comes along the Rambam, and the Rambam seems to make things a little bit more complicated. The Rambam writes like this in number four. So again, we have two dinim. We have the din of when the girl dies, and we have the din when the girl becomes a begeris. The Rishonim, Rashi, Taisus, and Ksubis make it sound like they learn from the same pasuk. The Nasan Lavi Anayir V'loy Lavi Begeris, V'Nasan Lavi Anayir V'loy Lavi Mesa. It sounds like they're the same, and that's the way the Rashash understood it. The problem is the Rambam sheet is kinira, not like that. Why? The Rambam writes in number four, this is all in Hilchas Nairu B'sulah, like the Rambam number four. Ba'aleu Mesa, if a guy lives with the girl, and then she dies, Zog the Rambam, ha-reize potter min ha-knas. He's potter from knas. Shenema v'noson eish ha-sheichev imo la-avi ha-nairev la-avi ha-meis. So the Achreinim make a deek in this Rambam. What does the Rambam say? Bo leo meisa reize potter min ha-knas. We know that whenever you deal with Oynes and Mufat, that there's two payments. There's knas and boishas u-pagam, which the Gemara calls momen. So the Achreinim ha-medai from the Rambam, that it seems like from the Rambam, that the whole tour of v'noson la-avi ha-nairev la-avi ha-meis is only tour in the knas. Meaning, you don't give the father the knas money, but you still give the father the boishes of pagam money. That's diuk that the Achreinim make in the Rambam. And the fact that the Rambam writes, potter min knas, the diuk is that only the knas you potter from, but in achanami, the boishes of pagam, you'd still have to pay to the father. Okay.
But in our case, when the Nara dies, well, who is her inheritor? There only is the father.
No, it's not the Pshat inheritance. The way you all understand, okay, we'll get this in a second, but the Pashas in the Rambam is that when...
So, yeah, but who is he going to pay the Boshim Kanan to? The father pay to himself?
No, no, you pay the Boshim Kanan to the father.
Yeah, but the father is the one...
No, no.
Okay.
No, no. Yeah, yeah, regular guy. Yeah. Meaning we have a din called Avi Avaloi Avi Mesa. The question is, what does that include? So from the Rambam, it seems like it only includes the Knas part of the payment, but the Boishes of Pagam. Now, we spoke about this last week, that what Boishes of Pagam is there. Well, what's the Pagam? That now she's what? She's now tainted? Tainted for what? She's dead. It's not like she's looking for a Shidduch now. Right? It's interesting. Boishes of Pagam, you'd sound like it's usually based on the future. Meaning because she was, abused now, so her future status was ruined. But what future? Nebuch, she's not going to have a future.
But the momentous part should go from the Shas Maisa.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. That's what we're going to see. Reb Chaim is going to talk about how to calculate everything. That's what we're going to see. I'm just making this Poshet, not a Lomdish observation, a very simple observation. If you want, just Poshet, Boishes Begam, we always assume means Al Pi HaOsid. Now, it's not a Kasha because if the Torah gave Chiyuvim, then the Chiyuvim have to be respected whether or not they're necessarily applicable either. Right? I would assume, again, I'm not a lawyer, there are many lawyers here in this shir. I would assume if you hit a lady and you kill her in a car crash, you probably have to pay for payments beyond just what her life was worth till now. I what do you mean? She's not living the future. But that's all part of what you calculate when you ruin someone's life. So I guess the same thing here is as well. But that's the Rambam number one. Then we have another Rambam. So the Rambam number five. Mefuta oyanu sasholoi tiva achete bagra. So the Rambam, the different case. You had a case of Mefuta or Aynis where the story took place when she was either a Ketana or a Naira, but you didn't get around to the court system, you didn't get to Tvi Sabezdin until she became 12 and a half, Oyachinissis, Oyachimeso Av, Ha'arba Dvarim, Oyashloisha Shalah. Zog the Rambam, the three or four, depending on Boishes Begam Knas, everything goes to her. So what do you see from the Rambam? That when it comes to the Din V'Nosan La'Aviyah, V'Loi La'Aviyah Naira, the Torah says that everything, dad gets nothing. Everything goes to the dur. But yet when it comes to the din, v'nosan la'aviyah, anayir v'loy la'avi mesa, then we split, knas and boishes u'pagam. It's not consistent. Frekt Reb Chaim, it seems like Reb Chaim is bothered with this kasha. If they're the same drasha, then they should work the exact same way. Meaning if the Torah is exempting the father from payments because his daughter is now no longer a naira, either because she's dead or because she's now a begeres, so it should be consistent. Which means either the father is completely exempt, or the father should be always partially exempt. Here we find that when it comes to death, the father gets a boishes begam, but when it comes to begeres, the father gets zero. Why is it not consistent? That's why Frekt Reb Chaim. Now, Reb Chaim we're going to use not only to answer this kasha, but to really answer the Rashash's kasha. So let's take a look at Reb Chaim. Now, we have to mention, before we say over a shtickle from Reb Chaim, we got to mention a word from this week's parasha about Reb Chaim. This is, Reb Chaim was the Rav of Brisk. But Reb Chaim's godless, he himself perceived, was not necessarily his godless in Torah. Reb Chaim perceived his godless was in Chesed. Reb Chaim asked on his Matzeva he should be called Ish Chesed. Not about, the great Lamdin, the one who changed the style of learning. He wanted to be, and that's the way he lived his life. He lived his life as an Ish Chesed. When he was the Rav of Brisk, he spent most of his day not saying Lomdash Shurim. When he said his Lomdash Torah was when he was a Velazhin. People don't realize this. When Reb Chaim said the bulk of his Lomdash Reb Chaim Torah, it was not when he was Rav and Brisk. It was when he was a Rosh Hashiva or a Magid Shin Velazhin. Before before Vloshin closed and before he came to the rabbinate. Once he became in the rabbinate, he had no time to say Lomna Shashurim. He was busy helping the Aniyim and the Yisayimim. He was busy with that. He had no time to say, you know, two Dinim and a Rambam. This was all before when he was in Vloshin, when he was still saying Shurim in his younger years. There's a dispute in the family about Reb Chaim. Was he healthy or was he not healthy? He died very young. Reb Chaim died at 65. That was the joke they said about Reb David Soloveitchik. They said Reb David Soloveitchik lived so long, comparative to his ancestors, he had no Mesoira and had to live past 70. You know, the Briskos are very into Mesoira. What did the Tata do? The Tata never lived that long. Reb David Soloveitchik lived so long, he had no Mesoira and had to live all those years. That's the joke they say about the Briskos. But there seems to be a dispute amongst the family, was Reb Chaim healthy or not? They say a Maisa that Reb Chaim once was intimidated by a butcher. A butcher was in trying to intimidate Reb Chaim about a certain status of the meat, and Reb Chaim was able to, like, you know, bend something very, very tough and show him how strong he was. So Reb Chaim apparently was very strong. They say he didn't die because he was ill, you know, bad nutrition. He died for other reasons, but he died young. He died at 65. Reb Chaim was not an old man. But the story that I want to get to is actually recorded in a Rabbi Franz book on Parshas Mishpatim, and he quotes from Rabbi Rakefet, who quotes from Rabbi Soloveitchik, who quotes an amazing story about Reb Chaim. You know, if you ever want to hear a story about Reb Chaim, it's, believe it or not, it's not a making of a gadol. It should be. It's a fantastic story. The Maisi goes that Reb Chaim, when he was the Rav in Brisk, was walking in the streets of Brisk one day, and he saw a bunch of kids playing. And they were playing some form of cops and robbers, whatever it is. And they looked very distraught. And they said to Reb Chaim that we need someone to be the horse. So Reb Chaim said, oh, I'll be the horse. So Reb Chaim joined the little kids' game to be the horse. Then in the middle of the game, they said, you know what, we need to tie the horse up to the tree. So Reb Chaim said, okay, tie me up to the tree. So they tied Reb Chaim up to the tree. And then the kid said, you know, it's time to go home for lunch. And they left Reb Chaim hanging on the tree. Not hanging, but attached to the tree. I mean, just put this into your mind. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik being wrapped around a tree, playing cops and robbers with the kids. Okay? So his gabbai comes by and he sees Reb Chaim's tied up to the tree. And he says to him, Rebbe, what's going on? So he says, I'm playing with the kids, this and the other. So he tells him, so the gabbai says to Reb Chaim, so let me cut you off so you can go home. Reb Chaim says, Chas v'shom, it's going to ruin the game. The kids are anticipating that they're going to come back and the horse is tied to the tree. I'm not going to ruin the kids' game. And he waited until the kids came back and Reb Chaim moved on. Now, that's a hasaga of what we think of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik in his godless ha'ish. But forgetting his Torah for a second, which obviously is what most people know Reb Chaim for, and that's in the Olam HaYeshivas, for sure his Torah is Reb Chaim's Torah, and the Brisker Mahalchas of learning is still adapted today in many of the yeshivas, but his ish chesed, that's what it says on his matzeva. On his matzeva, it doesn't say he was given a lamdan who created two dinim. He felt that his purpose in life was to be an ish chesed. He said as a rav, there's always a, you know, I guess it brings me back to reality. He says as a rabbi, he said, they didn't need me to pass in Shiles, they had a dying. They didn't need me for that, they had someone else. He said, well, so what was my purpose, Dr. Chaim? My purpose was to do chesed. Reb Chaim looked at his entire mahos as a rav. In Brisk, when he took over from his father, was just to do chesed, to help the aniyim and help the yisayimim. I guess that's a chizik for all those rabbanim that don't always have the time to learn. And they always feel like they're wasting their time with communal needs. It's not wasting your time. That is the purpose of a rabbi, as I said to Reb Chaim. In any case, you can't pass up such a story about Reb Chaim. But Reb Chaim has two mahalchim to explain this Rambam. Two mahalchim in this Rambam. Now the first mahalach is not so negeh to us, but I put both on the sheet because I thought they were both very interesting. And this is one of those times you can really sink your teeth in and to really crack your head over to try to figure out what's going on. So let's read this together. Let's try to read Reb Chaim together. So Reb Chaim number 6. The nearer, again, I apologize, it got a little cut off, but I'll try to fill in where it looks like it got cut off. I don't know why, for some reason, my Yotzer Chachma does not have this. Does not have Reb Chaim al Rambam, very strange, but I have the copy at home. So Dr. Reb Chaim like this, Venira. Reb Chaim has two terutzim. So Dr. Reb Chaim, the first teretz, Venira the Dasa Rambam. What's pshat in the Rambam? Again, what's our kasha? Our kasha is we have two Rambams. And one Rambam, the Rambam says that when the girl dies, the father doesn't get knas, but he gets boishes begam. Yet when the girl becomes a begaris, the father gets zero, nada, nilch, everything goes to her. So, Frekta Pchaim, what's the difference? Why in one case is the miyot excluding everything, and in one case the miyot is only excluding knas? Our kasha is more complicated. Our kasha is, what is the difference between the p'tur of Avi Anairo and the p'tur of Veloy Avi Bager? So, Zakta Pchaim had this. Venira. The Dasa Rambam he dahachdal Avi Anairo Veloy Avi Mesa Ein Zed Din Bittos Chosaf. So Dr. B'chaim, step number one. You have to understand that when the Torah says, Avio v'loy avi nairo, v'loy avi meso, yesh lachko, we'll make it, we'll jazz it up to make it sound more brisker than it is. Kled b'chaim achakir. How do you understand the miyot of Avio v'loy avi meso? When the girl dies, the Torah says the money goes to the father of the girl who's alive and not to the father of the girl who's dead. What's the pshat? Is the pshat because the Torah says that when the girl dies, that's a fancy way of saying you lose all rights to your daughter? Or the Torah is saying that it's like she left your rishos? Misa is a form of hafkas rishos. How do you understand what happens when the girl dies? We understand that naru bagrus is a hoitzor mirishos avia. When a girl hits 12 and a half, she leaves her father's possession. What happens when the girl dies? When the girl dies, is the pshat that the father has no rights on his daughter once she dies because that's the extension of bailus that the Torah gave is only for live people? Like we saw a few weeks ago that Reb David Kviat wanted to suggest that you only have bailus on people that are in the world and not people that are in the womb. So here also, you only have schusim in people that are alive. The moment the daughter is no longer alive, so the schusim end. Or is it similar to Hafkas Mirushusay? The fact that she dies, that's her way of leaving your ownership. So Reb Chaim says like this. It's exerus, he says, Ein ze din bitos chusav. It's not the pshat, says Reb Chaim, that you lose chusim in your daughter just because she dies. The rak to the mesa hanara mifter haboyo. He says, but it's, sorry, kiim to have exerus akosav lifter miknas. So Reb Chaim, it's exerus akosav. It's not a reflection on your relationship with your daughter. It's a reflection on the Ratzon HaTorah. Again, this is always the great briskers chilukim that we can always debate, but Reb Chaim is telling us in Yesod that when the girl dies and the Torah passes the bail, it's not because your relationship with your daughter changed. It's not because you lost the chusim in your daughter. It's because the Torah, for whatever reason, decided to pater him. She's still in your possession. The rak de mesa naira mifter haboil. Zot Reb Chaim, it's a p'tor. For whatever reason, the Torah decided that the guy who was boiled the girl and the girl died, the Torah exempted him. For whatever reason, maybe the time she here. This is why a lot of people have trouble with brisker style of learning, because why should it be that way? Why should the Torah just give him a freebie? The Torah just lets him walk away because what? Because the girl died? It doesn't work like that in civil law. Someone dies, so you fight it out. You go to the ocean. But Zakhtar B'chaim, that's the pshat. Valkain. Oh, so now we didn't answer the other kasha. So why does the Baishas of Pagam presumably still go to the father? Because that's the Yisoid, it's a Ptur, you can't extend the Ptur any more beyond where the Torah is written. The Ptur is written by Knas. So is a whole different conversation. The Torah, for whatever reason, decided to pater the boil from Knas when the girl dies, but that doesn't mean that the Torah patered her from Boishes Begam. When the girl leaves her father's possession, like by Nairus, by Bagrus, where the Torah says that you're now your own independent person, the Torah removed her completely from her father's possessions, Dr. B'chaim, then we say, then we talk and say that if the Torah took her out of her father's possession with regard to Knas, the Torah took her out of her possession with regard to Boishes B'gam, and everything goes to her. Why? Even though really all the shvach should be the same, and therefore Zakhtar B'chaim, in theory one could have thought that the same way the Torah said that you lose one right, you lose the other right, because over here it's a different lomdus. It's not the pshat that the Torah is saying that there's no sibas achiv. There is a sibas haknas to go to the father, but for whatever reason, the Torah exempted the father. So, Dr. B'chaim, if that's true, we can't extend it to Boishes B'gam. So, Bezel Yiska Kwa, Boishes B'gam, the knas. Then we don't make the comparison. The Kivin Dagzeus Akos, Avalini Knas, Memelo Doi Mif, the Rak B'knas. Avalini Boishes B'gam, Arehu Bichi Yuva. So, what's Dr. B'chaim basically saying? Dr. B'chaim is coming to answer his original kash on the Rambam. Why, when it comes to Avi Naira, the Lord Avi Mesa, is there still a Chiyah Boishes B'gam to the father? Because the answer is because the tour of Aviyah V'loy Avi Mesa is not the pshat that the Torah is saying you lost all rights to your daughter's payments. She's still your daughter. If the pshat was she's not your daughter anymore because she dies, so then nothing should go to the father. Zot B'chaim, that's not the pshat. It's not the pshat she's not your daughter anymore, and it's not Shvach Nurel Avi. That's not the Yisoid. The Yisoid is made the time Shiyah, the Torah decided to exempt the boy from the act that he did. That's the way you have to look at it. The Melech Zot B'chaim, if that's the lomdus, so you have the right to argue and say, well, when did the Torah do that? By Knas, not by Boishes B'gam. Poshut B'Gnam is a different fundamental chiyuv. Even though Poshut Reb Chaim, those two usually go together because they're all money that the Torah allocated to the father through the girl. So you would have thought they should be the same. Zot Reb Chaim, yeah, you can be Machalik. And Mele, Zot Reb Chaim, that's Pshat in the Rambam. Masha Enke, when it comes to Bagrus is not the Pshat that the Torah decided to pater the guy because the girl turned 12 and a half. There the Torah said that this girl left control of her father. She was Mafkia, she was taken away from her father's control. She's her own person. Oh, she's her own person. Then she gets everything. She's a new person. As I said, Dr. B'chaim. Let's just continue reading just to say we read the whole piece. Dr. B'chaim.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
I understand in the Lundas, but in the Metzias, she's not in this world anymore. So you could say, yes, I understand that it's different than Canaan, but at the end of the day, the whole reason for Boshes and Pagam is because of what happened to you. You're not here. So who cares? Well, how could you ever give that money over to the father?
I wouldn't say you're giving it over to the father. I would say that this girl experienced a act that was done to her that was degrading to her, and that requires payment, and that payment's supposed to go to the father. So the fact.
But at the end of the day, okay. So I mean, just like when we said, you know, there's a whole thing about kinas, whether it continues or not. Same thing by boshes and begam. I would think it's a double boshes. The boshes and begam is if you have the busha, if you have the begam, but at the end of the day, you're dead.
No, the boishes begam might have been that this happened to my daughter. My daughter was abused.
Right, but all the more reason now that she's dead, it's more begetter of a kinas.
No, not true. Well, at the time when it happened, my daughter was abused and my daughter was disrespected, and you have to pay for doing that to someone or lowering their value. I now it's not negay anymore because now they're dead. But at the time of the sibas achiyuv, the chiyuv took place. Again, I think in the civil law it works the same way. If you were to kill someone and then now they're not going to be able to work for the next 25 years, but they're dead, so they don't need to work, right? The answer is, you devalued who they were, ba'etzem. When your guy goes over and is ma'anis a girl, at the time when you did that, the sibas achiyuv is what you did then. The practical payment only happens at that amal d'bedin. That's what I would assume. No, there's two. It's two separate payments. There's a punishment levied by the Torah for what you did, and then there's a financial obligation for what you did. So the Rambam is saying that when the Torah exempts a girl who died, the Torah only exempts the troublemaker, only exempts him from the penalty, but not from the actual money. So the question is why? So Reb Chaim is saying because the father is still in the driver's seat here. The father is still considered the one who is in control of what happened to his daughter, and all those payments are still applicable. So then why does the Torah exempt the guy? Zok Reb Chaim, it's Gzeiras HaKasuv. The Gzeiras HaKasuv was only on one part payment and not on the other payment. It was only on the Knas and not on the Boishes HaPagam.
But maybe it would be clearer if they call both of them a Knas. One is a Knas, and one is a compensation.
Yeah. Okay, I agree with you. It's my mistake if I label that way. It's correct. Knas is a penalty. Boishes Begam is a financial, legal payment or a schayvus. It's a different. It's a different type of payment. It's not a penalty. It's a financial obligation that I have based on the halacha. It's not a penalty. Correct.
I don't know if anybody says this, but is it possible that the boishes extends to the family and that's why it goes beyond the daughter?
Could be. Possible. It's possible to say that this. Yeah, again, the fact that this happened to one's child, even if the child's no longer alive, it still has an impact on the family and on the people. Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps. Yeah.
So.
We could say it differently. If the knas was, we mentioned the chakira, which we said was probably machloek zbavim yushalmi. Is the knas a deterrent, right, to stop people from doing this in the future, or the knas is because you affected my life? So you can maybe, you know, say over here, what do you mean? But you didn't affect her life because, again, you did affect her life because we don't know exactly when she died. It could be that, you know, you were honest when she was 8 and, you know, then she dies 2 years later. So for those 2 years, her life was very affected. You know, for those 2 years, she was living with trauma and tragedy and all those things. Hard to know exactly. But maybe if you tackle, try to rework that Shiloh, maybe it could find its way back into our Sugya here as well. So that's what Chaim's first teretz. Yeah. Yeah, Chaim. Well, again, I think Reb Chaim is going to get himself into trouble, but into more complicated territory, because he's going to basically say that we make the same drasha of Venosin Lavi and Naira of Eloi Lavi Mesa, Venosin Lavi and Naira of Eloi Lavi Begeris, and they're working completely different lumdises. One is just a ptur in the Torah, and one is a lumdisha ptur, which we'll get to in a few minutes. The other time the Torah says the word Naira, yeah, the other times where the Torah says the word Naira, there it's coming to teach us something completely different. There it's coming to teach me that even if a lady is a Chayvei Lavin or a Chayvei Krisos, you still get payment. It's a totally different drasha, right? But what Reb Chaim is going to get more complicated is he's going to take the same drasha of a Nosan Lavi and Naira of Loi Lavi Mesa, of a Nosan Lavi and Naira of Loi Lavi Begeris, and go completely different paths with them. That's a classic Reb Chaim Teretz. That's Reb Chaim's first Teretz. That's Reb Chaim's first Mahalach. Fine. So Reb Chaim, let's just continue reading it. So Reb Chaim explains that everything is beautiful now. He says, "V'hochi mizbar mitoich asugya." This one comes out from the Gemara. The Amar Abaya bo leo meisa potter. The Gemara says, "If you bo leo and then she does, you potter." Ve'im neima duhu din hafka. Frekt b'chaim, if the pshat is that when the daughter dies, the Torah plucked her out of your control, out of your bailus. V'agzeres akosav who demises hanayim afkim rishas aviyah. And then the gzeres akosav would be a lomdich gzeres akosav. Again, this Reb Chaim is working with a fundamental chakira. The chakira is what's pshat if a nasan lavi and nayiv lavi meis. There's two ways you can learn it. One way you can learn it is that when the girl dies, that's a fancy way of the Torah saying you lose all rights of her. Just like when she becomes 12 and a half, you lose all rights. So that when she dies, you lose all rights. That's one side of the chakira. Zok Reb Chaim, the other side of the chakira is no. You continue to have all bailus and all schusim and all rights and all dinim with your daughter post-death. So why is the boil pot? Zok Reb Chaim, it's Exeris HaKosov. You know, Chaim throws up his hands and says, Exeris HaKosov. The male Zok Reb Chaim, once you tell me, it's meaning...
Why do we have to say that this is unique to this situation? I mean, maybe this is a general din, how we look at dinim mominus, how we look at dinim kenosis.
Because by Avi, by Gareth, it's also going to be Knossos.
But maybe, let's say by Kepha, right? We said Kepha is Shas Gizeh, and Kepha is Shas Abad
Abedin. Right.
There's two different times.
Oh, good, good.
One when the Maisa happens, good. And one when the
Knossos. So that's going to be Reb Chaim's second Teretz. And Reb Chaim's second Teretz, he's going to get more complicated, because he's going to start talking about this distinction that you're suggesting, about breaking down when Chiyuvim start. We'll get to that, Bli Neder. His second Teretz, to me, is the more complicated Teretz. I think this first Teretz is a little bit of an easier read for us. So we'll come back to the second side. Hold on, we'll get to that in a second. Okay. So Reb Chaim, Now, Agav, according to this Reb Chaim, it answers up Reb Kivayeg's Kasha. Right? What was Reb Kivayeg's Kasha? Why does the Gemara get involved in the Machlokes Abayin Rava? About the Nosan Lavi and Nayiv Lavi Mesa? Why didn't the Gemara just jump to the case of Bagrus? Because according to Reb Chaim, they're not the same. They're not the same din, they're not the same lumness, they're not the same outcome. They're two different sugyas. The sugya of Avi Mesa is not the sugya of Avi Begeris. They're two separate sugyas. Two separate lumnesses, two separate halachas, two separate sugyas. Okay, as I come to Chais, Reb Chaim's first text. That's the easy part. Now that's the part we could have done easily. Now we come to Reb Chaim's second text. Now we gotta really, really break our heads a little more. Every Reb Chaim gotta break your head, but now we gotta break our head a little bit more. I didn't learn in a yeshiva where they used to really spend hours. There are yeshivas out there, choshev yeshivas, where they spend days, weeks, breaking their head on every Reb Chaim and every Biskirov and every Baruch Ber. I didn't go to such a yeshiva. My yeshiva were more Reb Shimon style of learning, maybe because the Rosh Yeshivas were mishpacha from Reb Shimon. But there are yeshivas that mamish, they break the head, yomam v'layla, every word of Reb Chaim and every shtikol Torah, every comment and every phrase and every word, they mamish learn it like a Rishon. I think it's great, fantastic. It's not what I'm used to, but nonetheless, it's definitely a very popular mahalach out there in the yeshiva system. But let's go to the second Reb Chaim, number 7. Zot Reb Chaim. Oid Yishloim Bebedasa Rambam. Again, Reb Chaim is trying to explain the difference in the Rambam between Baigeres and Nesa. Why by Baigeres is the halacha that the girl gets everything, dad gets nothing? But by Mesa, the dad still gets Baishas Begam and not the Knas. Zot Reb Chaim. Oid Yishloim Bebedasa Rambam. Another pshat. The be'emes hachdino de lavi anayov le'avi mesa ain't zed din p'tur shal knas. Changes of Chaim is too now. Now he goes back to the other side of the chakira. Don't say it's just a psa gzeris akasso that the Torah exempted the boil from the knas. No. Kim da have din pittos chosaf. So that Chaim is a lomdish din. The drasha of a nosan avi anayov le'avi mesa is not just a practical din that the Torah exempted the guy from payment. There's a lomdus over here, Zot Reb Chaim. It's the Torah's way of saying that the rights that you have in your daughter end. They come to a close. The rights that you have in financial perks from your daughter ends the moment your daughter dies. You lose chos in your daughter. Okay. V'idikosh, effect of Chaim, what's wrong with that pshat? Dim kein, am I mifta legamri? Ein achanami, you lose all rights in your daughter. Fine. So you're out of the picture. You lose all the rights. Right? So what should happen next? So it should be transferred to her. So then where should the money go? It should go to the daughter, like the Rishash's kasha. Just like it works like by Bagrus. What happens by Bagrus? The daughter is plucked out of the father's control. She becomes independent. When she's independent, everything goes to her. So if that's what happens when the girl dies, everything becomes hers. So if everything becomes her, so everything should go to her. So the Rashash answered, it does, but there's technical problems. Zot Reb Chaim, no. Yeshloima bozeh deshani din bitol zeh bedin bagrus. Zot Reb Chaim, not like the Rashash. Zot Reb Chaim, because there's a fundamental difference between dying and bagrus. Even if you hold dying, is hafkos rishus. The din bagrus yisoy dehu hafkos rishus af. Because what is bagrus?
Question.
Yeah. Is that I lost David again?
We'll call her the underage daughter.
Yeah.
Are they his independent rights? Are they his independent rights? Or are they really her? But she can't become her own rights because she's underage. So he holds them, but when she becomes a bogeyres, she's now to have her own rights, so goes directly to her. That's the difference. Those are his rights.
Ah. So what David is suggesting is a chakira that we discussed in the beginning of this perek, which is when the Torah says that you give the money to the father, is that because the father is really the bal davar? The father is really the deserving party to be paid? Because you really wronged the father, you affected the father, you changed his life? Or the pshat is no. The father is not the one who went through the ordeal, and the father is not the one who went through the trauma, that's all the girl. But there's the adin in halacha that every girl under the age of 12, whatever money she gets, however she gets it, belongs to the father. That was a fundamental chakira we talked about in the beginning. And that's true throughout this entire limud. Do you say that the father gets the money because he's the baldover? We mentioned one of the nafkaminas was machlokes Rambam and Ravid about whether or not the girl can be moide b'miktsas. Is she really the baldover? We mentioned that. We also mentioned, this was Seth Ishtikotar, that this also might be totally in the shayla of what's the purpose of the knas? Can you be moichel the knas? But either way, Reb Chaim is not getting involved in that question. It's a good question. It's a fundamental question. If who the Torah gives the rights to. Reb Chaim seems to be going that the father gets the money because all girls' money goes to him. Because kol shvach nurei lavi, all the money that a girl under the age of 12 and a half gets goes straight to dad. Whether here it might go to dad for another reason, because really the dad was wrong, that the dad was really affected, Reb Chaim seems to be assuming that the money goes to the father, like all money goes to the father. But Reb Chaim is trying to break down, if that's true, what happens when the girl dies versus when she becomes 12 and a half? When she becomes 12 and a half, she becomes her own person. What happens when she dies? So Reb Chaim says, "Masha'enkin b'meisa hanayra loy hufko me'rishus eklal." She doesn't really leave his possession. Look at this kvaldika thin line of cutting of Reb Chaim. Zok Reb Chaim, when the girl becomes 12 and a half, she is completely uprooted, removed, and transferred out of father's control into her own control. Zok Reb Chaim, that does not happen when she dies. When she dies, the pshat is not that she loses, the father loses control over his daughter. But what the Torah did was the Torah cut the, sliced the pie a little thinner. The Torah said, she's still in your rishus, but all the mumness that you used to get from her, you don't get. Very, very thin line of Reb Chaim over here. Not that the Torah took her out of your rishus. She's still in your rishus, and she's still in your control, and she's still your daughter, but the financial perks that come out of having a daughter, that the Torah stripped the father of.
But that should apply to Boshes of Gum as well, according to
them. Oh, okay. Now, okay, we got to figure out how this, again, this itself needs Hesber. Why are we splitting it so, dachesdik, as we'd say, why are we splitting it so thin, that you're still in the Rishus, but this not like, most of us would have said, well, if the Torah took away her schos, it's probably because he's out of the parasha. Meaning, if I told you the Torah says the father doesn't get the money in X and Y case, I would assume it's because the Torah is saying that that's because she's out of your possession. To say that she's still in your possession, but the Torah took away the schos, very, very briskery for my taste. But in any case, that's what Chaim wants to say. The Melos, Dr. Chaim, so again, Zoktub Chaim, we gotta digest this one. These are one of those classic Reb Chaims. You gotta go over and over. Zoktub Chaim, according to this sad, this pshat, Reb Chaim is saying Avada the Torah didn't just exempt the boil because some reason. The reason why the boil is put over is Zoktub Chaim is because when the girl dies, something changes in his relationship financially with his daughter. Not like he loses his daughter. It's not like his daughter leaves his possession through death, but rather, Zoktub Chaim, what happens is that the girl, his rights financially to his daughter are severed. Not his bailus on his daughter, but his rights to collect mominus from his daughter is severed. Fine. So Zoktub Chaim, Efsh Asher Lefizeh, says Reb Chaim, based on this, Nicho, Gamkin Hodepokach Chiv Knas Lagamrihoch. So Zoktub Chaim, so now we understand why the Chiv Knas flies away. The moment the girl dies, and now the Torah says, I'm sorry, once your daughter dies, the relationship vis-a-vis money that comes out of her, you don't get.
But practically, what rights does he have then?
He would have the rights to the Knas and to the Boshes of Begam.
He gets the Boshes of Begam, he didn't the father, or he didn't have, he becomes the Yorish.
Oh, so let's see. So Zoktub Chaim, Mishum de Be'emes, Harei b'shas bia hishas ikr chiyuvo. Zoktub Chaim, really, the ikr chiyuv starts not at a mod b'din. The ikr chiyuv starts in the time this story happened. Ella hoyse b'shos avia. At that time when the story happened, where was she? She was a ktana. She was alive and she was in her father's possession. For who de zocha b'haknas u'boishis u'begam shabo. And that's when the father. I'm sorry. That's when the father had rights to that money. The rak bebagras v'nesuin shemafkian mirshus av, but only rather Zoktub Chaim, when it came to bagras, or when the girl got married, shemafkian mirshus when she was completely uprooted, who da havedina de cholhanis chushal av gam shalom afreya chayzum lahabas. Zoktub Chaim, when the Torah plucked the girl out of her father's rishus. Then you know what the Torah did? The Torah said, you know, we're going to go back and we're going to give everything to the girl. Everything that would have went to the father now goes to the girl because she's an independent person. But Zoktub Chaim, again, I apologize, I didn't put the rest on the sheet. But Zoktub Chaim, v'imkein, I'm going to read to you out loud, v'imkein kol zeh, shiyotzim v'shosevi. Zoktub Chaim, when does the Torah switch over everything from dad to her? When the girl left completely father's possession. But when the girl dies, it's not a complete hafka. She's not completely plucked out of dad's possession. But the Torah just said that for whatever strange reason the Torah took away his financial rights to his daughter. Then Zoktub Chaim, then Aslina Rak Basa Shas Chiyuva. Then we look at the time of Chiyuva. And once the father was around for Shas Chiyuva, the daughter can never get it back. Fantastic. And now when the daughter's rights are lost, then the boil loses completely. It does not go back to the daughter, because it wasn't hers. Again, another gevaldik gevor for Reb Chaim. Zoktub Chaim. It depends how this went down. We focus, as Reb Chaim, heavily on the Shas Achiv, when it happened. So when the story happened where the girl was was a Naira, and the money should go to the father, and then fast forward to Amod, but then the girl now is her own person. So we basically say, okay, let's go retroactively, all that the father should have got, we pluck it from the father, give it to her. But Zartu B'chaim, by Mesa, that's not what happened. By Mesa, we're not switching Bailim. The girl is still her own owner. Just the Torah took away the father's rights to the mom, and it's because he died. Then, says Reb Chaim, then we look at what happened at the time of the story. At the time of the story, all chiyuvim were going to the father. Then, Zot Reb Chaim, when we mevatel that, then the girl can't get anything. He says, Achen, well, read, I'm going to read a couple more lines. Achen gam lefizeh. The das ha-ramam shepasik da p'tohu rach miknas. Back to the original Reb Chaim. The Rambam says that by Mesa, it's only a p'tohu on the knas and not the b'yishev gam. Why? The davka knas the mechusa gemar din. This is where Seth was going. Because by a knas, what do you need to make a knas applicable? You need the gemar din. You need amod b'din. So who the mahani had the mesa habas lavki chiyuv? Then, when the girl dies, that takes off the chiyuv, and that takes off the chiyuv, and therefore the chiyuv is gone, never to return again, not even to the daughter. Mashenki b'boishes b'gam doloi mechusa gemar din. Boishes b'gam is not missing a gemar din. The nigmar chiyuvim take a b'shas bia. We look at the chiyuv boishes b'gam starting at the time of the story. Mkain loy ichbosom kal masha meisavah. Who cares that she died later? Kim the kvar nigmar chiyuvim v'zochah benav. Once the psak was done, and the father got it, the father continues to have it. Aye. So why doesn't it work like that by bagrus? Zokter b'chaim v'loy domi lebagrus esun. Because over there the pshat is because that was a hafka. The Shani didn't have Kom Rishus Av Shemoyel Gamal Shvach Nurim Shem Afreid Atzim Rishus Abad. Because when the girl's uprooted, then retroactively she fills the role of her father. But Mashenki Zot Reb Chaim by Mesa, it's not the way it's working. By Mesa, the girl's not becoming her own person. She's still not her own person. Her father's still in control. Then says Reb Chaim, then we start to split between Knas, which is defined by Hamad Bedin, versus Boishes Begam, which is defined at the story at the time when the story happened. Okay. There's much more to break down in this Reb Chaim, but time is not on our side as usual. But I just want to start the next Gemara. I know it's a little late and I apologize, but we need to start the next Gemara just to say we start the next piece of Gemara. Let's just start the Gemara very quickly. That's Gemara number 8. We had a Gemara yesterday, everybody say, last week, where the Gemara told us that we have a special Gzeres HaKosov from the word Naira, Hanaira, Besula, HaBesulois, that Chayvi Lav and Chayvi Krisis, even though you're not allowed to marry them, nonetheless, you can still pay them knas. So the Gemara says, number 8, Ulafuke meha tona de tanya. This Gemara is, our Mishnah is going against the other Tanoim. Who are the other Tanoim? The Tanya, that Abraisa, number 8, left corner. Veloisi Elish, it says in the Torah, you're supposed to marry her. Shimon hatimoni, Shimon hatimoni, so before she pointed out, why was he called Shimon? What happened to Reb Shimon? So he didn't get smichi yet, so they didn't call him Reb Shimon, just Shimon hatimoni. So Shimon hatimoni, Omer, Isha sheyesh bahavai. Shimon hatimoni says the only girl that gets knas is a girl that has a vai that you can make kedushin to. Obviously, chavi krisis you can't make kedushin to. So according to him, chavi krisis doesn't get knas. Reb Shimon menasi Omer, Isha harui lekaim. A woman that you could stay married to. It's not enough just to make the marriage happen. You have to be able to stay married to her. Says the Gemara, Mabi Nayu, what's the difference? The difference would be a mamzeris or a nesina. Why? If you hold, you just have to be able to make a kedushin. A mamzeris and nesina are only chavi lavin, therefore they're able to get married. But we don't want you to stay married to them, so it's not called the isha roi lekaima. What about Akiva? What about according to Akiva? The Amr ain't kedushin types of chavi lavin. Akiva, you can't marry a chavi lavin, and a mamzeris and nesina is a chavi lavin. So according to both opinions, you can't marry her, so what would the nafka mean? It beats Zatimar, Ikabenai, Almona, Lekoin Godl. The difference would be is what happens if an Almona was Niveles to a Koin Godl. A Koin Godl was Ma'anis and Almona. Kireb Simoy, if you hold like Reb Simoy. The Tanya, Reb Simoy, Oimer, Min Hakol, Oser, Reb Akiva, Mamzer. Reb Akiva made all Chayvi, Lavi, Mamzer. Chotz, except Almona, Lekoin Godl. Now again, what Isser is an Almona, Lekoin Godl to love? But so if Almona lived with a Koin Godl, Zatimar, Gemara, the baby was not a Mamzer. Why not? Again, Reb Akiva holds, Kedushin is not Toifsin B'chavi Lavin. The Gemara is assuming that if the Kedushin is not Toifis, and you try to live with such a woman, and you have a baby, that baby is automatically a mamzer. Now that's a huge jump. But that's the assumption of the Gemara. Why? Because the Gemara says, Shari Amr Torah, it says in the Torah, Lo Yikach V'lo Yichalo, it says in the Torah, don't take almana to a Kohen Gadol. And then it says, V'lo Yichalo, don't make the children Chalul. So the Gemara makes a drasha. Chalulin hu asa, the children become Chalolim, Ve'in Oysim Amzerim. But the babies don't become Amzerim. So what do we have over here? Here's an example of almana to Kohen Gadol, which is a Chavi Lavin, which, even according to Akiva, the Kedushin is Chal. Now, where do you see from this Gemara that the Kedushin is Chal? All the Gemara said is that if you have an Amon L'Kohen Gadol, the baby's not a mamzer. Where do you see anything about the Kedushin? So, Beli Neder, in 2 weeks, we're going to have to see that this Gemara is teaching us a Yisoit. That the fact that you can't marry a woman is perhaps the reason the baby is a mamzer. Because all you see from this Gemara is that Reb Simoy says that a baby that's born from an Amon L'Kohen Gadol, the baby's not a mamzer. So says the Gemara, oh, so you see that even though it's a Chavi Lavin, they're still shy to get married. Where do you see that from the Gemara? So Taisus is going to tell us, you see from this Gemara, Givaldik Yisoid, which the Achreinim are going to go to town on. When we say Reuven can't marry Leah, now, is that the reason why the Vlad is a Mamzer? Now, let's say, for example, Chavi Krisis. Reuven goes over and marries his aunt. So the halach is, if Reuven marries his aunt, there's no marriage. And if they have a baby, the baby's a Mamzer. So Yeshlachkar. Is the baby a mamzer because Reuven can't marry his aunt? That's goof why the baby's a mamzer. Or the baby's a mamzer the same reason why he can't marry his aunt. The choymer ha'iser that states you can't marry your aunt is goof why the baby's a mamzer. That's the big chakira that will
have. Like Simon versus Sibon.
100%. That's the huge chakira that we need to get to Beli Neder in 2 weeks after Purim. Hopefully by the time we come Sunday morning, Purim's already Friday, so you have Shabbat Sunday. Hopefully by Sunday everyone's already sobered up. We can get back into the Lamdash Sugya. So, Mr. Shem, we'll get to that in 2 Sundays. Mr. Shem, next Sunday, we will be discussing Inyane de Purim. Okay, everybody, say, have a wonderful week, and be well, and be safe.